We just welcome those of you joining us online. Those of you who are part of Navigation Church, we are excited about the conversation that we're right in the middle of right now, of a hurry culture, a hurry, gotta do, go, go, go. And actually, I just want to tell you again, not my original thoughts, John Mark Cromer, the ruthless elimination of hurry. So this past week, did you control your schedule or did your schedule control you? Did you wake up and dictate how you wanted to live your life, or did you wake up because your life dictated on how you had to live? When this group over here, the schedule controlled them. Just if any, those missing it online, we got a whole peanut gallery over here. Just, I'll get back to them in a minute, but I'll keep asking everyone else. Did you do the things you wanted to do, or did the things you had to do when it came to your schedule this past week? Are you the person you want to be? And if not, did you do the things in order to change, in order to become the person you've always desired to become? Or did you just kind of keep doing the same old, same old? Did you this past week say any phrases like this? Wish I could, but I have no more time. Or doing well, just busy. By the way, if you need these questions, you can download our app and all these are in the notes and you can quiz yourself later. Did you say this? If only I had a few more hours in my day. Can I give you a hint? Can I give you a hint? If you live a hurried lifestyle, if you live a go, go, go mentality, more time is not your answer. Okay, I'm going to say that again because right now you guys are still thinking of all the stuff we just talked about and the prayer time, and you're like, I can't believe I've stood for 10 minutes and prayed. Like, Jesus is coming soon. No, he's not because you prayed. So, okay, stick with me on this one. So, if you think the one thing that I could use is a little more time in my schedule, I'm challenging you this. That's the last thing you need, because the one thing you don't know how to manage is your time. So if you had more time, here's what I think you'll end up doing. You will fill it up with all the other commitments that you can't get to now. If I had more time, I could spend more time with my wife. I could spend more time with my kids. I could spend more time doing the things that I love. Well, the problem is time is a commodity that you either know how to use or don't know how to use. And more of it will just get you more stressed, more worried, more burdened by life. By the way, if you didn't notice, someone just brought me water. So here's where I need you to say amen. Amen. That was really dry, and it was right in the back. Bad things were about to happen. So the last thing that you need more of, Donka Shade, the last thing you need more of is more time in your schedule. And by the way, Philip Zimbardo, Demise of Guys, which why men, this may be a book you want to look into. Guy did an incredible study on the demise of guys, concluded that the average guy spends 10,000 hours playing video games by the age of 20. Did you know that every major business leader out there says this, that if you want to become the master of anything, the only thing you have to do is invest how many hours? 10,000. By the age of 20, men across this nation could be the master at a single discipline in their life. Instead, they spend 10,000 hours playing video games by the age of 20. So we don't have enough time in our schedule. We don't have enough time in our schedule to do little things like read. How many, if you're honest with me right now, and by the way, let's do a show of hands. I need to know this. How many of you would say, I wish I read more often? I wish I'd get in the book and read a little bit more often. And then you don't have to raise your hands on this one, but you'd probably say this, but I just don't have the time to do it. Well, according to Charles Tuell, the average American reads 200 to 400 words per minute. So if we would read 1 hour a day, you would read nearly 200 books a year. But I don't have the time to do it. We don't have the time to do it, except we spend twice that amount of time per American, on average, on social media. We spend an average of 705 hours a year on social media. And that sounds like an awful lot until you hear about TV. TV is an average of 2,737.5 hours that we'll spend consuming TV. We just don't have the time. And then there's something, by the way, this seems like an oxymoron. Do you know what an oxymoron is? Phrases like the accurate estimate, artificial grass, act natural, awfully good. By the way, if you're online right now and you have a funny one, what is it, jumbo shrimp? You just throw it in the chat. I'd love to know what your oxymoron is. Ready for this one? This is an actual thing now. Entertainment anxiety. Did you know there's something called entertainment anxiety? Say yes or no out loud right now. That was almost a perfect length for that answer. Entertainment anxiety happens like this when you're talking to an individual and they say, have you seen this new show? And you realize you haven't, but other people around you have. They begin talking about it and you feel left out. So what do? You pick up your phone, you immediately go to whatever channel they're talking about and you put it in your cache in order for you to get to it at a different time. Entertainment anxiety happens when you look on the latest, greatest hit TV show and the first thing you check is how many episodes, how long are they, and how many seasons. So you can decide if you're willing to make that investment. Am I by myself on this one? This thing called entertainment now gives us anxiety because it happens so fast and you need to be the latest, greatest. Did you know Mandalorian, the first new episode, came out yesterday? I didn't get a chance to see it. I'm freaking out. Because what if someone talks about it? What if someone posts online? What if Baby Yoda is no longer Baby Yoda? Like, this would kill me. And if you didn't watch season one, well, you should get a spoiler. Catch up. Like, there's this thing, this anxiety that happens. And so here's what we can do. Between the amount of time we're on social media, between the angst that we get because we don't watch things often enough, between the schedule that you don't have out of control, that is one lifestyle that you're welcome to put on. But Jesus invites you to something totally else. And here's what his lifestyle looks like. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Says, take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. Why? Because what I want to put on you, the yoke that I want you to wear, it is easy and my burden is light. And by the way, if you were here last week, just know I'm about to repeat myself again, because this is what the whole conversation of the hurry culture is about. Let's read that exact same passage out of the Message. And here's what God is asking, do you want to put out? Hey, are you tired? Are you just worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me. Why don't you get away with me? And you will recover from life. I will show you how to take a real rest, not go to sleep and set your alarm, hoping that the morning doesn't come because the blankets are so heavy, you have to hit your snooze 3 times, and no matter how much sleep you did get, you're still not rested from the day before, and the only thing you did was have dreams about all the jobs that you have coming up this day. Amen from anyone? I'll actually show you what real rest is. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn, I love this line, I love this one. Ready for it? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn how to live freely and lightly. Why is this an important conversation for us to say? Dallas Willard said it this, hurry is the greatest enemy to your spiritual life in your day. Greatest thing that can hurt your spiritual life is that you have to go, 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 do, hurry, hurry, hurry. And right now, during this COVID season, I believe this is the greatest opportunity that you have to reset to the lifestyle that you've been called to. Why? Because there's things you can't do. You could have lunch plans for tomorrow and find out our governor shut down restaurants. What are you going to do with all this extra time? My guess is we fill it. But what if we stopped and we slowed and we paused and we created a different rhythm in our lifestyle when someone says this, did you see that latest show? Everyone's talking about it. You go, I don't care. Because you know what our kids and I, we did? Are your kids playing a new game called Among Us? Okay, did you know, you ready for something, a blast? And by the way, parents that don't know it, and I just told your kids, you're welcome. So What's the murder game? Mafia. How many ever heard of Mafia? Okay, so it's Mafia on the computer. But you know what we do now as a family? We play Among Us or Mafia in person. And so we set up all these different tasks on all our different floors, and you have to walk around. And by the way, we do have a song. Like everyone's just singing and bumping in, and then someone will hit a wall and go, I'm glitching, I'm glitching, I'm glitching. And I mean, we do this stuff. But basically, we're encouraging our kids to walk around and murder each other but not get caught. It's a blast. You should really try it. And no, they don't get to carry actual swords, guns. And so, like, you got... So we've been doing this thing at the house where the TV's off, but the whole family's playing together. And if you were to ask me, have you missed out on the latest, greatest? After all, did you hear the latest breaking news on Fox, CNN, MSN? No. You know why? I don't have that anxiety. I don't have to live under that. Because during this COVID season, I've chosen to reset my schedule to something of a life that I care about. And you can have that same attitude, because here's the big thought. Big thought for the whole week. This is in the app. This is in your notes. If you don't know it, make sure to write this down. We as Navigation Church, what this book laid out and what I believe in my heart, the hurry culture is incompatible with a Jesus culture. The hurry culture is incompatible with a Jesus culture. And by the way, the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at specific Jesus examples. And I show me this in the one place where Jesus ran. Not going to find it. But I can tell you the places that he walked. I can tell you the places where he goes, nah, go ahead, I'll catch up soon. Jesus must have been melancholy, man. It was just like, come on, let's get this thing going. And so when it comes to our Jesus culture, but here's the thing, I think I understand why it's easy for us to fall into a hurry culture, and it's because how God created us, but he didn't actually create us this way, he created us a different way, but I think there's some maybe identity issues going on, because did you know this, that you were created in God's image? There are aspects of who you are as a person that are meant to be, and please hear how I'm saying this so you don't think we're a cult and you go out and put this on social media. There are places where you are supposed to be God-like. Amen. Your wives will explain that to you later. It's not what you're thinking. Bring it down just a little bit. But when it comes to love, do you know that's a God attribute that we can give to the world around us? Did you know that God, out of the essence of who he is, spoke into nothing and something was created, and you have that God-like power inside of you? And if you don't believe this, think about a contractor, think about a builder, think about a computer person, think about someone needing to write a contract or legal description. They start with a blank piece of paper, and what do? They take from what's inside of them, and they begin speaking it and pouring out and hovering over this piece of paper, and next thing you know, here's a blueprint. Here's a contract. They took nothing and created something. And then here's also something else that we have. We can take the raw materials in the world around us, and we can start fashioning it. And I love this word. I'm stealing it from my mother's theology book, right? We can decreate. It's not a real word, but it works, so we're going with it. So we can decreate. We take a tree, and we pull it down, and we cut it into pieces, and we make it into boards, and then we stand it up different. And what do you have? A house. We decreate to recreate. God came down at the beginning of earth, and he began forming and fashioning in dirt this thing called a human. And then he breathed into it, and he took one substance and created something else. And that same God-like characteristic builds inside of you. You are God-like, except, ready for this? You ain't God. Why? God is immortal. You're mortal. God is all-knowing. Most men aren't. See, I wanted to say all, but I'm pretty arrogant. So I think I like, you didn't have to laugh that hard, babe. Like, but you're saying we aren't all present. You know what? God is ever-present. We aren't. We're a single person in a single place. But there's times in your life, how many think that you have to be God to the world around you? And so guess what you need to be? You need to be the answers to everybody else's drama every time they call. You lack the ability to say no to your boss, and your boss continues to give you more and more and more, because every time he gives you, you do and do and do. And next thing you know, you're overwhelmed, because you think you need to be the solution for everybody else. You need to provide, you need to create, you need to pull out from you and give to other people. But here's what you need to know, and here's what you have to come to understand. You were born with God-like characteristics, but you were also born with limitations. That, you'll never see that on the New York Times bestseller list. Accept your limitations. But we have to. And by the way, can I just tell you, you will either come to this self-revelation on your own, or you'll crash into it with life experiences. Going into this today specifically, I actually thought, when it comes to limitations, this is something that I know easily because of being a pastor. The problem is, this week, I've come into a lot of places where I didn't want to face the truth that I have limits as being a pastor. Because when someone calls, you want to be the solution for them. When someone has needs, you want to have the answer for them. This week alone, an 18-year-old needing 40-something hours of community service. Man, how do we connect them? And how do we get them plugged in where they need to be? And how can we be this solution? Like, you want to be able to do these things. And then this morning, I get a phone call about a man only 3 years older than me. His wife watched him take his last breath in their house this morning as he has a massive heart attack. And I spent the morning at the ER. And the only thing they were asking is, why? And I'll tell you now, if I was God in that moment, I would have spoke and had that body come back up. But the problem is, I'm limited. And you're limited. And the faster you come to the only way to really eliminate the hurry culture is to both live in our potentials and in our limitations. Until you start realizing those, you'll start having, there'll be harsh realities when you're living outside of what your mind can handle, what your body can handle, what your emotions can handle, what your family can handle. When you start living outside of all those boundaries, outside of who you're supposed to be, and you'll know it because things start falling down. Things start breaking in. Things start falling apart. And God wants us to not only know this, are you ready for this? He wants you to accept this. And I'm actually going to prove this with scripture. You're going, okay, these are all good thoughts so far, but you're just telling us about this Jesus guy who doesn't run anywhere. But what about the writings when God tells us? How many have ever heard of Psalms 46 before? Psalms 46 is this beautiful psalms talking about there's times that the oceans are going to rise up, but don't freak out about it. There's going to be times that wars pop up, but don't freak out about it. There's going to be times that kingdoms rise and kingdoms falls, but don't be worried about it. And at the end of Psalms 46:10, it says this, ready? It says, be still and know that I am God. It didn't say be hurry. It didn't say go quickly. It didn't say freak out. It said this, be still and know that I'm God. Could I have everyone do this? I'm going to do this quick exercise. By the way, this is not a pop quiz. You don't have to study for this. I need everyone just to read this sentence with me, and then we're going to start doing something backwards. Ready? So read this. And if you're watching us online, do this with us. Everyone say, be still, know that I am God. Now let's just take one word away from it. Let's go to, ready? Be still and know I am. Let's just take a little bit more. Be still and know that I. Let's do it two more times. Ready? Be still and know. Ready for this? Be still. Last one. Be. This should be easy because after all, we are human. You didn't say it loud enough. You are human. You actually had the wrong answer. You're human. No, you're human doings. You're human doings. How often are you human being versus human do? Because after all, the more you do, the more validation you get, the more reward you get, the more life you get. Because we have to be busy doing. And what Jesus is telling at some point, what God is writing to us throughout his scriptures, can you please just be? Can you be still? Can you be still and know I am? And by the way, this is, I believe, the rhythm of the kingdom of God. Because the famous passage in Psalms 23, how many have ever heard this one before? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I put up a different version. I think I did NIV, but I quoted King James because that's what you grew up with. So be still and lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. Let's just pause right there. Do you know that sheep do not drink from running water? If a shepherd took sheep up to a stream that was a fast moving water, they would not drink out of it. The shepherd actually has to dam up part of that stream to create still waters of peace. And then it says this, he makes me lie down in green pastures. But God, I want to do, I want to go. There's places to see, places go, people to see, things to accomplish. And he goes, no, I need you to stop. And I need you to drink from this refreshment that I've been given to you. And in this place of stillness, and by the way, it's going to be so woven inside of us, every 12, 24, some of you 36 hours, your body physically shuts down and goes offline. That's how interested God is doing this. And could you imagine if we actually set out of our mouths the lifestyle that we're actually living, and it's this, okay, God, I'm going to go to sleep now. If you could just handle things while I'm gone, I'll be back in 6 to 8 hours to take over again. Like, if we actually said that to God, it would seem asinine. But that is how we live. When we have to physically just shut down because our body can't go anymore, God is still in control. And no matter how much we wake up, pop up, and think that we grab life and say, God, I will take care of this for you, we're not taking care of nothing. We should be able to be still and let our soul rest and knowing that God is in control and wants us to lie down in green pastures and enjoy him. I actually think this is the way of Jesus. And in the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about four specific areas and disciplines that you should have in your life to slow down and just be. When we're talking about being silent, when we're talking about the Sabbath, all these different aspects that we're going to cover. But we're going to take our model off Jesus alone. So who is Jesus in the New Testament? Jesus was known as a rabbi. Have you ever heard of that phrase before, a rabbi? So what does it mean to be a rabbi back in the day? Well, it looked like this, that as I grew up, depending on who my family was and what they did is most likely who I was going to become and what I was going to accomplish. So I was going to learn how to run the family farm to make sure we had food to eat. If my dad was a carpenter, if my dad was a fisherman, if my dad had some type of profession like that, I began going to work with him to learn it because there's a really good chance that I will one day not only get on the boat, I'd own the boat, and then I'd pass that boat down to my kids if I was a fisherman. But every once in a while, there would be this rabbi that would come by. And think about this. The rabbi were the scholars of that day. The rabbis were Yale. They were Harvard. They were SIUE, right? They had all these different aspects. I know you wanted that. Really got tall grass there. I couldn't think of any other college except the one out of town. So you're welcome. Send us a check. Okay, so you have these rabbis that rather than kids going away to school, they would actually come, children would come under these rabbis to be mentored and be taught. And a way to say it is, it's like the rabbis put a yoke of education upon them. And they would say, this is your mindset, this is your belief, this is what I'm going to teach you. And they would yoke them with something new that the children, that these kids could walk along. And at this point, this would be your only formal education. So if you were actually picked up by a rabbi, you had the potential to change your family's lineage forever. And so Jesus was a rabbi. And there were two things that every rabbi had. His form of teaching. Or I'm going to say it again, because you remember we keep reading out of Matthew 11, put my yoke upon you. It is easy and it is light. It won't be burdensome. So we just got to keep using that word yoke. So what Jesus is saying is I have my way to teach what I'm teaching. And I have not only my style, but the belief behind it. Why are we teaching it? So Jesus had his yoke that he was going to pass on. The other thing that Jesus had were disciples. How many have ever heard that term before? Okay, can we change that word today? And let's use the word, every rabbi is going to have their apprentice. Because I think that's a term we're more used to in today's society. Someone directly underneath them that they're going to teach, instruct, guide, and lead. And specifically when it comes to apprentices, it's first of all, they're going to be with Jesus. You may want to write these down if you want to know what the next couple weeks look like. Ready for this? We're going to be with Jesus so that we can become like Jesus, so that we can do what he would do if he was here. So we begin thinking about this. We begin thinking the exact same way our rabbi does, or as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to think just the way Jesus thinks in this situation. Why? Because we hung out with him. The more we hung with him, we became like him. And the more we became like him, we started acting like him. And why do we want this Jesus today? Do you know the self-help industry is an $11 billion industry per year that people are just trying to make themselves better? $11 billion industry. And Jesus is giving his away free. Ready for his? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Then come to me. And by the way, get away with me and you'll recover in life, and I'll show you how to take rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I will not put a yoke on you that's too heavy or ill-fitting. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. But I'm a Christian already. I'm a Christian, and I know all this, but yet I'm still burnt out. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but I know there's things that I'm not doing completely. Dallas Willard in the Matthew 11 commentary, and don't worry, I put this one on the screen so you could read it with me while I read it so I don't bore you to death. Ready? In this truth lies the secret of an easy yoke. The secret involves living as Jesus lived the entirety of his life, adapting the overall lifestyle. Our mistake is to think that we follow Jesus consisting of loving our enemies, going the second mile, turning the cheek, suffering pain, patiently and hopefully, while living the rest of our lives just as everyone else around us does, and this strategy is bound to fail. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and your strategy is to love God, love your neighbor, turn the other cheek, show up on Sunday morning, give a little bit in the offering, and that's the definition of a Christian to you, what Dallas Willard is encouraging and what I want to say to you now, that's not a holistic Christian that Jesus is talking about. Okay, just everyone's just looking at me right now. So let's just use a whole different example. Can I just be honest with you? Some time ago, a year plus ago, I decided that fitness needed to be a bigger part of my life. And so I just started having a regular workout routine. And by the way, this is what my routine looks like. I wake up in the morning somewhere around 4:30, quarter to five, somewhere in that time. Never set an alarm. That's when my body naturally wakes up. So I get up and I go downstairs and I take a drink of, it's a pre-workout thing. I then sit at the kitchen table, and every day of my life, I read a minimum of one chapter of a book a day. I have a little journal. I make my little journal notes. About that time, I head down to the gym. There's another pastor in town who meets me down there, and we work out together. We work out together, then I come home, I get cleaned up, and I head up to the office. I'm usually here maybe around 7 or so. That's my normal rhythm. But somewhere else throughout the day, I watch an outside guy, his name's Michael Hearn, if anyone cares. I watch his YouTube channel to continue learning about fitness. And I want to know more about fitness because I want to have that lifestyle. The problem is I watch these guys who actually have a lifestyle of fitness versus having fitness in their life. And there's a big difference. And here's where my aha moment came. It was a couple weeks ago. I'm watching this guy, Jack to the Guild, look fantastic, beautiful body. And by the way, if you work out, you're allowed to say that. So it's not weird at this point, but it was beautiful. And he was talking, and Michael Hearn asked him something about nutrition. And he said it the coolest way possible. He goes, I work out 8 times a day. 8 times a day? Who works out 8 times a day? I didn't think your body could physically do it. You can do more damage than good working out good. Like, it blew my mind. And he goes, one time is in the gym, 7 times is in the kitchen. And he viewed every meal that he ate as a workout because that's the lifestyle that he wanted. And for me, I want the life, but I'm not willing to adapt that lifestyle. Why? Because I have something called a sweet tooth. Can I get an amen, hallelujah for someone out there? And I don't want to die in shape unhappy. Fine, I have love handles. After all, she's married to me. It's actually this ring. She's married to me. She can't leave me just because she squeezes me. Even when I come in from a workout and she goes, huh, I never noticed that down there before. Yesterday, you did it. I'm telling everybody on you. It hurt me. I'm on a crash diet. I went up and shaved. I cried in the tear. You know, that's all right. Marriage, the relationship series is over. We don't have to go back to that. But here's the thing. When I look at these guys and the way they look, I will never look those way. Why? Because I refuse to adapt the overall lifestyle. I'm not going to work out 8 times a day. I'll just get in there, break a little bit of sweat, feel better about myself. But then when I hear about these Christians around the world, right now, one of the books that I'm reading is called The Fourth Dimension by Dr. Cho, world's largest church. And he's talking about how the fourth dimension hovers over the third dimension. I know it's weird sounding, right? And he was telling these stories of going into hospital, raising people off the deathbed. And I'm like, man, that is awesome. But then I read everything that he does with his life to get that power of God. And I go, wow. That wasn't an accident. That was a lifestyle to get to live that life and have that testimony. When we read about miracles that are happening and thousands of people coming in and the books that are written, it's one thing as Christians go, man, wouldn't it be awesome to experience that? It's another thing to put yourself in a place where you can start walking that way, learning that way, growing in those places to actually move into those dimensions and those spiritual realms where you can actually live like that. But here's where most of us live, and I'm putting myself right in that category. God is an added element to our life versus saying, Jesus, I want my life to look all like yours. And it isn't just coming on Sunday mornings. It isn't responding to a group chat saying, hey, I'll pray for you, but never getting to it. It's having those spiritual disciplines in our life. But instead, many of us live by this business mindset. By the way, if you don't know anything about God or Jesus or church, but you're a business owner, write this down. This will change your life. Every system is perfectly designed to get the results it's getting. So the systems in your business, you have the exact business that you're organized to have. Well, I want to get bigger. You're not organized to get bigger, or you'd get bigger. Every system, and you know this, I'll use a good Christian example, Chick-fil-A. If you go in there and say thank you to them, how do they respond? My pleasure. By the way, I had to wait on that response because I don't eat at Chick-fil-A because Popeyes is a better chicken sandwich. Amen. Amen. See? I'm right, you're wrong. So when it comes to... Do you think accidentally Chick-fil-A has every person having the same response everywhere, or do they have a system to produce exactly what they want to produce? So when you look at your life, if it was a business, how is your business doing? Do you produce anxiety that's always kind of at a simmer? Do you produce mild depression? It's not a big thing. You get out of bed, but the truth is you're not excited about your life. Do you produce high levels of stress? Do you have chronic emotional swings that you don't know what to do with? Do you have little to no presence of God in your life? And when you talk to him, you feel like it's nothing more than a religious activity that you did while driving down the street because you actually needed something versus building a relationship with him. Do you have the inability to focus? Then I would say this, don't blame God for your business plan being a failure. It is the way that we have structured our life, and then we do crazy things. We do crazy things to try to numb ourselves from the life that we're currently living in. So we'll use drugs, we'll use alcohol, we'll try to have an escapist mindset. We'll turn to porn, and some of you go, well, I would never look at porn. No, but you watch cable news for 8 hours a day and still get the same dopamine fix that everybody else does. And that is an absolute accusation against those that are addicted to news, and the only thing you can do is ever talk about that. Why? Because I'm tired of it this time of year. And by the way, a dopamine hit can happen on a phone playing a game or a news outlet or pornography. It's all the same thing. We're numbing ourselves to what's really around us. But Jesus invites you to something altogether different. He does not offer an escape. He offers something much better, equipped for a different lifestyle, equipped with a different mentality, equipped with a different way to do life in a non-hurried way. Jesus' pace, slow, unhurried, present in the moment, full of love, joy, and peace. And this easy life isn't an option. It's a yoke. It's because we choose to not only want a life, but to live a lifestyle. So as I said last week, is the same thing I'm going to say this week. This sermon is not finished. We will continue the conversation next week. No fancy clothes, no big punch here at the end, but it's to say this. If you are interested in an unhurried lifestyle and to maybe be exposed to a way of thinking that Jesus presents to us, I want to invite you to come back and be a part of the conversation next week. We're going to learn things like how to be silent in his presence. We're going to learn how to, in this busy world, how to actually enjoy a Sabbath. Here's a thought for you. How about everything you've worked really hard for, you actually enjoy it? What a thought. What a concept. So when it comes to our or your apprenticeship with Jesus, your discipleship with Jesus, we're going to ask this question. How would you live if Jesus was right here with me? And so the first step in a relationship with Jesus like this is to actually start a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, can I say it this way, in theme of what we've been talking about? I'm going to ask you to spiritually yoke up with him. And to give you this picture, how many have ever seen old photos of a farmer out back with two oxen and they had this thing put over the ox shoulder to like pull a plow? That thing that's over the oxen, that's the yoke. And this spiritual life that you're supposed to be walking in is because you are actually yoked up with God. By the way, this is God. I don't know if you noticed that. Here, I'll even show you who he is. And so like, I don't know why I did a puppet right there. I'm regretting it myself. So in this yoke that you're attached in, you're actually yoked up with God. And so if your spiritual life feels like you always are getting burned by it, there's a chance Jesus is dragging you along. Or if you feel like you live a whiplash spiritual lifestyle, there's a chance it's because you keep trying to run ahead of Jesus. And here's what God's trying to say with you. You want to just walk with me? You want to work with me? And you want to learn from me? And the only way to actually get in this yoke is to recognize that you are a sinner needing to be saved by grace and accepting that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died on a cross for your sins. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you're watching at our online campus, that same invitation is going to go out to you. Now, when I ask if anyone received that today, here I'm going to ask people to raise their hand, but online, I'm going to ask you to click a yes button. I'm going to ask you to type into the chat or even like a comment that one of our pastors had put out there in order for us to know that you've made that decision today. And so if you're watching online or if you're here, I'm going to ask one thing from you. Could I just ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their head? And here's why. We have a great amount of people here today, and I would hate for you to feel shy, embarrassed. Oh, people are looking at me. They never knew I haven't made this decision before. But I'm going to just in a moment ask you to raise your hand. And raising your hand is to this. I was just testing if you were going to keep your eyes closed. And that would be 92% of us, no. And the rest of us tinkled a little bit. So here we go. Might as well say it out loud. We're all feeling it or thinking it. If you're here today, yeah, this is a pretty hard one to close, let's admit it. But here's the thing. God doesn't have to be serious. He can be fun. Even when I read the scripture and it says the amount of times that Jesus sat around a table having dinner, I bet he was the funniest person at the party. I bet he knew how to connect and get along with other people. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, with no one's looking around right now, it's just you and I talking. If you're here today, could you just raise your hand so that I can see that you've made that decision? And if you're watching us on our online campus, again, click a button, hit a like, let us know that you're out there. But if your hand went up or if you clicked the button online, could I ask everyone around this room to do me a favor and repeat this prayer? Dear Jesus, today is the day that I yoke up with you. And I'm done running. I'm done with shame. I'm done hiding. Today I want to be with you and you alone. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And I confess you as my Savior. God, I thank you for every person that said that prayer for the first time. I thank you for every life that was changed and we are now yoked up with you. Now, Jesus, help us learn. Help us learn from you as if you were right here with us. Holy Spirit, you are present with us on this day and this hurried lifestyle that is exhausting us and killing us. We choose to live a Jesus lifestyle this day because after all, we are immortal, or we are mortal. But God, we can set up riches for ourselves in an immortal world. I pray right now for any person in here that you have been living a life, specifically when it comes to your business, you've been go, 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 and you are finding that the joy that you used to have in it, it is depleted from you. I pray that God helps you set up brand new boundaries on this day in order for you to be able to not only survive in that business world, but thrive. I pray for those that you don't feel like your marriage currently has the proper margins and you just pass each other like ships in the night, going and coming and going because of the task of this world. I pray that both of you have such a desire to be intimate and connected that you literally sit down and reschedule your world and just start canceling things. After all, when the kids come and go, the only thing that'll be left is your relationship. And I pray you see the value of that this day. I pray for anyone in here right now that your finances, it seems to drive you. That your health is failing. Your relationships are failing because you just go after money, money, money. And you've done amazing things with it, but you're missing the value of relationships. I pray for those that you've had a heavy heart, heavy chest, even a physical weight on you because of going in this hurried lifestyle. I pray right now that God brings healing to your physical body and the things that the doctors can't even solve, that right now you begin getting solutions for those things. And I pray a collective prayer for all of us right now. May we be still and know you are God.